This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from Simply Safe Home Security, the smart way to protect your home and family. Simply Safe is award-winning home security that provides around-the-clock protection and is built by top engineers in the country. You can rest easy knowing your Sleepy LaBeef collection and Ginsu knife set are safe. There are no long-term contracts, so you're never locked in. Try it out. Enjoy a 10% discount and show support for Car Talk by visiting simplysafe.com/cartalk. Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the campus of Tappet Brothers University, or old TPU, as we call it, during orientation week for the upcoming fall semester.
In other schools, orientation is a bunch of baloney.
Oh, it's a waste of time.
But here, it's not a waste of time. We start right at orientation teaching mechanics useful concepts like, you know, the difference between bring and take. How many mechanics know that?
Left and right, up and down, all those important things. Are we certified to teach that bring and take thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, it's enough of that. If you've got any mail, I know you're dying to read something.
I have a letter here from Tom Kinsman from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. He wrote to take us to task for two things, but the second thing is more interesting. I don't actually remember this, but I guess one of us, probably you,
I don't think
made
so.
Some derogatory remarks about art history and English majors.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Uh-oh.
I must, however, take Tom to task on one issue. The bone of contention is Tom's stand that the world does not need any more art history majors and English majors. Ooh. Though he did cut some slack for the English majors. I can't honestly remember what I said, but I do vaguely remember this. I disagree. I think we need a lot more. After all, when art history and English majors don't get jobs, what do they do besides teach, I ask you?
Right.
What they do is they open card and gift shops, florist shops, and those coffee houses that Tom likes so much. Think about it. Who do you want to sit down and drink coffee with? An accountant? A stockbroker? An engineer? Au contraire, you want an English major. Or an art history major, or someone like that.
Someone with culture.
Someone with culture.
Exactly.
Ask yourselves, do we really need more scientists and engineers to invent things that we don't need, and we don't understand, and that usually don't work anyway? Do we need more accountants and lawyers? Certainly not lawyers. Would you want to drink coffee and discuss the world with a computer scientist? What's more, do you ever find violent art historians and English majors? Oh, there's an interesting point.
Rarely.
But that cause and effect there is a little bit twisted.
When
they get mad, they just go drink coffee and debate the state of the universe and humanity. If we had a world filled with these people, we might actually have universal peace. So-called progress might grind to a halt, but so what? Enough said. Don Kinsman.
Indeed. Very, very good, Don.
Eloquently done.
Shut my brother up.
I like it. I like it.
If you would like to call us, our number is, as always, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becky, and I'm calling from Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Becky!
It sounds like there are geese in the studio, I think.
Northfield, Minnesota.
Correct.
Becky's a
nice
name.
Is that near Bemidji?
No, it's 35 miles south of Minneapolis.
Oh, do you know where Bemidji is?
I do.
How would you know that? is Bemidji like a famous place?
Not a famous place, but it's well known.
It's well known.
It has a big lake there and stuff.
Ah, yeah.
Ah, it's got a lake.
Okay. Well, yeah, Minnesota's like 10,000 lakes. I mean,
yeah, every city has a lake.
So anyway, what's going on, Becky?
Well, I have a 97 Geo Prism, and ever since I've gotten it, there's been this weird kind of film that forms on the inside of the windshield.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a greasy, clear film, and you can wipe it out, but it always comes back.
See, now, if you smoked cigars...
You wouldn't notice this.
Another goose just landed.
Yeah.
So I should start smoking cigars.
If you smoke cigars, you wouldn't notice this, and you would.
Ah.
Wait a minute, Becky.
We're having a little technical difficulty in the studio. Oh, he's got the remote.
I don't know if you listen every week, Becky, but a few weeks ago we were commenting on how women. All right, already. How women don't engage in practical jokes to the extent that men do.
Okay.
And we were then flooded with a bunch of practical joke items, one of which I'm holding in my hand. And this is a remote fart machine. And, you know, this is the 21st century version of the whoopee cushion. The whoopee cushion was all right, but this thing.
You had to sit on it.
You had to sit on it. This thing was when we came in, was glued to the underside of the table. And as luck would have it, when I sat down, the glue let go and it fell on the floor. They were hoping to surprise both of us with it, but as luck would have it, I was in on it and Tommy wasn't. And I'm sure all the 9-year-olds listening are going to love it. So we'll just leave it here, and Doug Mayer can press the transmitter button whatever he thinks is appropriate.
Okay.
So anyway, as I was saying,
if you smoke cigars.
If you were a cigar smoker, this would be incidental film on the inside of the window because you would have all that cigar smoke. But now that nobody smokes anymore, we're witness to the fact that all this stuff getting onto our windows is coming from some other source.
Okay.
And it's coming from the plastic.
The plastic.
What it does is it sublimates, comes out of the plastic, and floats around inside the car.
Yeah, from the dashboard, from the seats.
How often do you have to clean it?
Once a week. It comes every day, though. I mean,
you don't leave the windows ever open, do you?
No.
You should.
I have allergies.
Allergies to what?
Everything.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's bad, but yeah, I think, oh, geez.
We mentioned this maybe, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and we commented in our usual erudite, uninformed way. We said, it's probably a bunch of carcinogens, and it's killing us all.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
And I think, I mean, again, in my uninformed way, I remember seeing a study by some doctor somewhere. I never remember details. And the study said, indeed, it is carcinogens.
Okay.
So it's not a good thing to have, especially, I mean, if you're...
Yeah, this was one doctor.
One doctor somewhere in Bemidji.
Oh, what did he know?
I don't know where he was from. But yeah. The study indicated that, yes, in fact, all of these things are coming out of the plastic that's in the dashboard, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Allergies or not, you got to open the windows, Becky.
You have to open the windows.
I mean, better to breathe in some alfalfa dust than to breathe this stuff. At least that's natural.
Okay.
It may be that this is exacerbating your allergies.
It could be.
How do you know that?
See, now we're going to do some little medical advice here. Sure, we're going to get ourselves deeper and deeper.
Yeah. How's your vision?
My vision's perfect.
Is your memory going?
A little bit.
How's your hearing?
What?
I said, how's your hearing?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, some cars have this worse than others, but every car that I've driven in recently, I mean recently meaning the last 20 years, well, I think now is the time to bring back, because of the recent arrival of the airbag.
The solid steel
the metal
dashboard.
Dashboard of our youths.
Yeah, youths.
Youths. you're probably not old enough, but we remember when we were kids that all dashboards were made out of steel.
Yeah, so when you hit your head on that dashboard,
survivors. No one,
no one sued anybody.
No EMTs rushing to the scene to save your life. You were a goner. Yeah, but now we can go back to the metal dashboards because we have
airbags. Have seatbelts.
Exactly.
Why do we need plastic up there?
Bring them out. Oh, we can make them out of something else. Cardboard.
Don't need a dashboard at all.
Hang the instruments on strings. I don't know. Anyway, Becky, my advice would be to leave the windows open.
Okay.
As much as you can, especially when you're not in the car.
Okay.
Let that stuff escape.
All right.
And cover the dashboard with fur.
Fur! Fur's good.
With fur, okay.
See you, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll have those people on our case. 88 or Fulfer, of course. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227.
Who was that guy? His name was
55.
His name was Diogo.
Yes.
He had his car. He happened to be going through Mexico. Who knows what he was doing?
Yeah, from Guatemala.
And he said he couldn't resist. And he had some guy in the street cover his entire dashboard with fur. And the dashboard.
The seats.
The seats.
The rearview mirror.
The steering wheel.
Yeah.
Everything.
It was beautiful.
He said, I couldn't resist.
$20, how could you resist?
Diogo Texera.
You got it. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chip from San Jose.
Chip Chipperoo, yes.
Everybody calls me Chipperoo. Jesus.
What the hell do you expect with a name like Chip? What's your real name?
Lewis.
Lewis, that's a wonderful name. My father's name.
Oh, really?
No,
that's
kidding.
Name too. That's why I don't use it.
It's my father's name, too. There's three of us.
Get out. Your name is Louis, L-O-U-I-S.
L-O-U-I-S, Louis, yeah, if you want to be French about it, but I'm not French, so.
Well, neither are we, but that's...
So, how'd you get the name Chip?
It's you know, the chip off the old block thing, right? Because my father's got the same name I do, so to avoid confusion.
Yeah, and so you don't like Chip-Chip-Chipperoo?
Guess not, huh?
I've known some of my buddies from, like, elementary school or something.
Yeah.
So how long have you been known as Chip?
All my life.
All your life? No, not yet.
And I used to design computer chips.
Really?
Yeah.
Chip the Chip Man.
And now I work with wood chips, so I do all sorts of different
things. See that? This name has sort of taken
it
control
molded
of your
career.
Life.
Molded your life.
It's interesting.
It really is.
Paint chips, potato chips. Think of all the careers you have ahead of you.
Well, I hope I find one that makes me some money.
Buffalo chips might be, there may be money in that. Anyway, what's up, Chip?
Well, I've got this big white Grumman Olsen truck. It's actually a Chevy truck underneath, and it's got a 350 engine in it, okay?
Yeah.
And I've driven it quite a bit. In fact, I've put about, 40 or 50,000 miles on it. And it's gone through an exhaust manifold, and I was kind of wondering why it burned up an exhaust manifold. And then I was driving down the road at nighttime and happened to check the oil, and after the engine was really hot.
And you found it glowing.
And it was glowing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God, is this thing going to burn up? And, you know, when it took out the exhaust manifold, it took out the starter. I mean, it just made an awful mess. There was, you know.
What was actually glowing? One of the manifolds?
Well, one of the manifolds actually, it was on the right-hand side as I'm looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the manifolds actually burned up, and it just melted a hole right through the bottom of it.
Yeah, that happened.
Molten metal pouring over your starter. That's not good.
Well,
for the
actually, it wasn't the molten metal. It was the. I mean, it didn't really melt.
Yeah, it made a hole, and the hot exhaust gases.
Little kind of cubes of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it burned right into the starter. I mean, it had this hot gases burning into the starter, and it didn't start. And that's how I found out about the whole problem.
But you didn't hear the exhaust. You didn't hear the.
Oh,
exhaust
I knew
leak?
I had an exhaust leak. In fact, I knew I had an exhaust leak, and I knew it was the exhaust manifold. And I was in Denver at the time, and I actually went to a junkyard and picked one up. And it wasn't until I got to Laramie when I discovered that the car didn't start when I checked into a hotel and then came back out.
What the hell are you doing driving a mail truck from Denver to Laramie?
Well, I do these shows, these woodworking shows all across the country, and I stop from place to place. And I've got this big truck, and it only weighs 10,000 GVW. So I can put 3,800 pounds worth of stuff, and I don't have to fall under DOT rules, so I don't have to keep a trucker's log and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So what do? Sell, like, ShopSmiths or something?
No, it's a product, an invention of mine. It's called a lever clamp. It's a woodworking clamp thing.
Kidding. You're going to send us one for free?
If you want one, I'll send one.
My brother is an avid woodworker, you know.
Oh, is he really?
He is, and I'm sure he would love to get something for nothing.
Well, I would be happy to.
Other than a T-shirt. I had to put an addition on my house. For all the free T-shirts that I've gotten.
Right.
So,
but a lever clamp. It's not every day you get a lever clamp.
No, not every day.
No, it's not. It's kind of unique. It's a neat thing, and sure, I'd be happy to send you one.
I'm only kidding. I don't want one. I'll buy one.
Oh, you will?
Well, if they're $3.
We'll come right up.
So anyway.
So what's the question?
Why did the manifold fry?
I've taken this, and the people said, "Oh, your fuel mixture is fine, and everything seems to be okay." You know, I don't know. Is it a little 350 engine? I'm just working too hard, or is this a normal thing that the exhaust actually glows?
Yeah, they all do. They all do that.
No,
it should not glow.
It shouldn't glow. You may be working the engine too hard, but if that were the case, it would be overheating.
Right.
You have a temperature gauge on the dash.
Yeah, well, the temperature gauge never gets above a certain point. Now, it's either stuck or...
Maybe factory set. I had one like that. It was factory set. No, my guess is that the timing is too retarded.
Hmm.
Now, they probably checked that, but I bet you they haven't. They say they've checked it.
Well, they did check it. I took it in, and they gave it a complete diagnostic, and I watched them, and, you know, would a vacuum leak cause something like that? You know.
No, it isn't a vacuum leak. If you had a vacuum leak, it wouldn't cause that.
Okay.
What you have is timing that's too retarded, and the combustion is taking place not in the cylinders.
Uh-huh.
Rather, it's taking place in the exhaust manifold.
Maybe that's why this thing can't get out of its own way.
And that's why it has no power.
There's another problem. That would be a symptom of retarded timing. You'd have low power.
Yeah, could
so
be.
If they may be checking the timing, and maybe the timing is right at idle, but it's not right at higher revs.
Interesting.
And
well,
that would certainly cause this.
More likely is that the centrifugal advance on the distributor doesn't work.
Mm.
That's more likely
it's
to be.
It's a centrifugal advance, not a vacuum.
It has both.
It has both.
If it either has both or it has a centrifugal or it has neither.
Okay, well, it's a 350.
But if you go someplace, this is an engine that everybody understands.
Right.
A 350 engine. So you can actually
Except
check
the jerks you have that are working on it.
You can have them check the timing at all different RPMs because there's a specification for what the timing should be at different RPMs.
Okay.
And I'll bet you that when you get up above 1,000 or 1,500 RPM, it's way off.
I see.
No, have them check the timing. That may fix it.
I will.
That may fix it. If it doesn't, then get a bigger engine.
That sounds good.
Great.
See you, Lou.
Nice talking to you, Lewis.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Chip-a-roo.
Well, although you should be savoring every moment of the beginning of the end of summer. Boy, that's a lugubrious thought, isn't it?
It is.
You are instead listening
it's
to
sad
us.
Sad, too.
Click and Clack, known at the Leaf and Bean as the Tipperillo Brothers. We'll have more of your calls in the second half of Car Talk, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the business end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in a minute.
Don't want to be your backseat driver. Just want to sit right beside you. Watching the windshield wipers and the water that they move. Not gonna give directions, go on about my convictions. Just listen to the hum of the engine and let the horizon soothe you.
And even though dogs bury their masters' radios in their backyards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from Trunk Club, a clothing service that's changing the way men shop. With Trunk Club, you'll be connected with a dedicated personal stylist, a real person who's been trained in the complexities of fit and body type to find the best clothes to match your style, budget, and existing wardrobe. And in my case, talk you out of matching that striped shirt with plaid pants and a white belt. The clothes will be shipped straight to your door, and you'll have 10 days to decide which items you'd like to keep or send back. And anytime you need a new trunk, just call, text, or email your stylist at trunkclub.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the Department of Chastisement Department.
I thought it was important to double up because we got a lot of mail chastising us on this one issue.
Us or you?
No, you're just as much involved in this. It has to do with, I got to read portions of two little letters here. We listen to your advice on a fairly regular basis and usually find your wisdom to be unmatched, but in the case of the call from Justin from Washington, D.C., we feel that you led the poor man astray. Justin, as you remember, which we don't,
had recently returned to the dating scene and, to paraphrase his brother's advice, was looking to replace his four-wheel drive Subaru Legacy with a Babe Magnet.
I do remember making the correction.
Your advice was to look into purchasing a Range Rover Discovery. I remember that, too.
Land Rover.
Land Rover Discovery. Whoa, we say. In our area of the country, Range Rovers are seen as yuppie scummobiles, not meant to ever touch anything softer than asphalt. A poor choice in our eyes. What message is our friend Justin trying to get across? Rugged outdoorsman or latte-sipping wingtipper? Woo! So then this goes on and on. Now...
Also, they assume that he would not be portraying himself as a rugged outdoorsman who likes to take long walks on the beach, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, sunset.
And here's a similar one from Olivia, who doesn't want to give us her last name, but she does tell us she's from North Salem, New York. Dear brothers, no. Good thing you guys are in the car business and not the dating business. As an outdoor, athletic, smart, single woman in my mid-30s, the kind of, and I quote, babe.
Sounds like she's making a pitch for old Justin.
Justin says he wants to find... I believe I can speak with authority on this issue. The last thing he needs is a Land Rover, unless he's interested in an outdoor, athletic, smart woman who is primarily interested in status. Oh, tell him to save his money. The rest of us find the Land Rover a turnoff. Wow, we're learning a lot here. In fact, he's got one of the best cars he could have. The Subaru Legacy Wagon,
understated, the
being
Subaru
the official
is.
Car of the conservation professionals across the country. And we are an outdoorsy, frequently smart, practical bunch. Let's turn instead to the most critical issue of all, which you jerks completely missed. The dog. The peculiar behavior of the dog. Leaving aside for the moment the all-important roof rack, which should be made by Thule or Yakima, and should at all times be prominently display... Oh, should prominently display one mountain bike and one kayak, no matter what kind of car he has, Justin's attention should be on the appearance and location of the dog.
Yes.
He said it was big. That's a good start. Hopefully it's a retriever of some sort. But does it ride in the front seat? There is nothing that will get Justin more attention than a big, sweet, brown-eyed dog looking mournfully out the passenger window at the babe driving in the next car. When the prospect...
Drooling onto the side of the door.
Right. When the, quote, prospect takes the opportunity to appreciate the dog and then finds her gaze returned by Justin. Hey, it won't matter how much hair he does or does not have. If that doesn't work, just give Justin my address. Sincerely, Olivia.
Well, this reminds me of a little story. Our dear sister has a girlfriend who had a dog and would go to the playground or whatever where the dogs pooped.
Yeah.
And she happened to meet a nice fellow there who also had a dog who was pooping in the playground.
Yeah.
And their dogs hit it off immediately, and so did they.
Yeah.
And they began conversing, and they met several times there, and she, of course, planned her visits in the evening to coincide with his, knowing that he was there at 6:30. She was there at 6:30 as well.
The hell with the dog's poop schedule, right?
At one point, they exchanged phone numbers, and she was ecstatic. And several weeks went by after these continual evening meetings, and he finally called. And he said, "Hi, I have a cottage in New Hampshire, and I'm planning to go up for the weekend."
In my Subaru Legacy.
In my Subaru Legacy with the kayak on the roof. And she said, yes. Awaiting the imminent invitation.
He said,
would it be all right if your dog came along? He seems to get along so well with mine.
This is a true story.
Who's this? I don't know. Even if I knew, I wouldn't be at liberty to divulge for obvious reasons. But it's a true story. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt from Orlando, Florida calling.
Hey, Matt.
Orlando.
What's going on, man?
Well, I've got a problem here that I need expert advice on. I've been getting advice from all sorts of different sources, so I thought I'd come to the experts here.
You have come to the right place.
I drive a lot in my job. I put on about 108,000 miles a year.
What?
I do.
How can you even be in a car that long?
Boy, your butt must be killing you.
No kidding.
And I'm looking for the perfect car. Right now I'm driving a Nissan Sentra, and that's not the perfect car.
Oh, man. How old are you?
44.
And what do you do that requires 108,000 miles a year of driving?
Well, what I do for a living is, I guess, a little bit unusual. I look at bad floors for people.
Bad floors?
I'm an expert in the floor covering industry, and if someone has a flooring installed and there's problems with it...
So you work for, like, Mannington or one of those companies?
Exactly. As a, you know, not in their employ, I'm an independent contractor.
Oh, I see.
I work for a number of manufacturers.
See, here's the problem. You work in an area where there are too many single-story dwellings. You need to work in New York City. You could kill like 8 or 10 clients in one building. Just take the elevator. You park, and that's it.
Yeah.
You got a point there, but here I am nonetheless.
Nonetheless, and you're looking to you're trying to save your sacroiliac by getting rid of the Sentra.
Well, I've got four different variables. I need, obviously, good gas mileage.
Right.
I need dependability. It's got to be comfortable, and it has to be relatively affordable. And all of those are mutually exclusive.
Almost. Let's see.
So what's the most important one?
Well, actually, the most important one to me would be dependability, reliability.
Right.
That's the most important. Sure.
Okay. I can't get caught 300 miles from home, you know, with a broken car.
No. We can always sleep on somebody's floor.
But, I mean, how old is the Sentra?
Well,
2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you buy a car now? Like, what? Twice a year?
Just over 2.5 years old. It has 278,995 miles on it.
And it's been a good car, a good little car.
Boy, that's pretty impressive.
The engine actually is in very good shape. You know, you end up replacing silly things like distributors. I'm on my third distributor. I'm on my third catalytic converter.
Yeah.
I'm on my second sun visor.
Yeah. You're probably flipping. Well, in that hot Florida sun, sun visor is the first to go.
Sun visor, yeah.
Jeez. Really?
Well,
wow.
The car I'd have to recommend, I mean, just off the top of my head,
sure,
would be a Toyota Camry.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
A four-cylinder Camry. You needn't get anything bigger than that.
And it satisfies every single one of your criteria.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the safest car, certainly, but it's the safest car that you can get that meets the other three criteria.
Right. And the miles per gallon is not fabulous, but it's respectable.
Yeah.
Now, the other car that I'd recommend is the Honda Accord. Same thing,
four-cylinder. Now, my wife was suggesting a diesel Volkswagen.
No. It fails on, let's see,
fails
dependable.
On comfort.
Comfort those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's out.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I calculate that you're in the car 4, 5, 6 hours a day.
More. I leave at 7 in the morning, get back usually at 7 at night, and doing about maybe 6 to 10 stops at 20 minutes apiece. So, yeah, you're about right.
Man.
Oh, man.
How long? You've been doing this for a while, too.
Several years.
Are they paying you great, or does someone have something on you?
the pay is good. I like to drive. I always have.
Evidently.
Well, that's good.
You know, if I had to do this, you know what car I would have? The mileage would mean nothing to me.
A Lincoln Town car.
You got it. 9 miles to the gallon, I wouldn't care, man. I want a Lincoln Town car. Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
Right. Well, it fits all the criteria.
Okay.
And you know what? The Lincoln Town Car probably doesn't get much worse mileage than the Camry.
Really?
Speaking from the tukus, you can't beat the Town Car.
Yeah.
Well, if I get tired, I could pull off the side of the road and go to sleep in the back.
And I would strongly consider it.
Look at how much money you'll save on motels.
There you go.
Good luck, man.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow.
208,000 miles a year.
Well, hey,
someone's going to do it.
He was laughing, wasn't he?
He was laughing.
He loves it.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah.
The gas from the fumes of the dashboard. Imagine what's going on in his brain.
And you know he's not arguing with his wife all day because he never sees her.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, he's a happy guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Mark from Richmond, Virginia calling.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for calling us, gentlemen.
Listen, I agree with you guys. Matt needs to get a town car.
Oh, doesn't he?
His tuchus has probably got calluses so deep.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting in the car 5 hours a day.
How does he get up and walk upright after he's been sitting there?
Well, I'll tell you, the most comfortable vehicle I ever drove in my life was... It wasn't comfortable from the standpoint that it handled well. I'm just talking about the seat.
Yeah.
Was a Mark III conversion van that we drove out west maybe about 10 years ago or so. This thing had the most amazing seat. There were days when I was in that seat for 10 hours.
Well, I think it was a Lazy Boy, wasn't
it?
It
was a Lazy Boy.
You could recline while you were driving and everything else.
Oh, it was great. You'd nod off, you wouldn't even know it. 200 miles would go by just like that. So maybe he should get a Mark III. Anyway, what's going on, Mark?
I recently purchased a GMC Envoy. Nice, nice vehicle. However, as you probably know, the gas mileage is horrendous.
What is the gas mileage?
19.
Yeah, I'm getting, you ready for this? 12 to 13 around town and about 15 or 16 on the highway.
Yeah. You should have bought an excursion.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys, and that's one of the... I've got a two-part question. Is that I was looking into some of these aftermarket products, and I think they're a scam.
They are.
You mean the pellets?
there's the Vornado.
The Crappa chip.
Crappa chip, right.
Yeah, but you're going to try them all, Mark. I mean, they're all, what are they, $29.95? I think the Vornado I would try first.
Okay.
And, isn't it a disappointment? What is he getting, 16 miles to the gallon?
That's it.
That's the best.
That's the best.
Jeez.
Yeah,
what do you expect? I mean, why did you buy this in the first place?
Well, ironically, I bought a boat, and I needed something to tow the boat with.
How big is the boat?
The boat is 23 foot. It's weighing 6,000 pounds.
You're just making it.
I'm just...
Don't bring your mother-in-law along. You won't be able to... No.
Amen, brother.
You're in trouble. Why don't you learn to keep your mouth shut?
So you want to know if the additives work, and the answer is no, they don't.
They don't.
No, for the most part, I mean, we've seen these things come and go for years and years. We've seen everything from the pellets to the springs you put in the gas tank.
Don't forget the magnets.
The magnets.
Right.
The magnets are supposed to reorient the gasoline molecules.
The radioactive thallium. I mean, we've seen it all, man. And all of these things, either you strap on the fuel line, you sling underneath the thing, you put on the roof, you put the antennas on, you add to the gas tank. You put this stuff, no matter what you do.
But, you know, when they do the infomercials, the rationale for why it should work is always impeccable.
It is.
I mean, I know the Vornado thing.
Yeah.
They say things like, it works for jet engines, why shouldn't it work for your gasoline engine?
Well, maybe because it's a completely different engine. Right. Well, you know, you're getting 16 miles to the gallon, but that's with the boat on it, right?
No, that's without the boat.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're in trouble. Well,
I hear this sucking sound when I've got the boat on the rear.
Yeah, well, no, you'd expect the mileage to go down considerably with the boat on. You may be driving it too hard or too fast.
Okay.
You know, and it may be that a lot of these things count on when you buy one of these devices, whether it's the Vornado or the pellets or whatever, what they're counting on you to do so they can eventually get from you an unsolicited testimonial is to alter the way you drive because you want to get better mileage. So. And they'll give you a little pamphlet
and
that says...
And you want to believe that the thing works.
Right, because you don't want to believe that you're that stupid that you bought this thing.
You spent $29.95 for magnets. Magnets?
Right.
Come on.
We don't need no stinking magnets. So you buy this thing, and then you put it on. And, of course, it doesn't work, but if you adjust your driving habits a little bit, you stop idling the thing for long periods of time, you stop lead-footing it, you know, you stop with the jackrabbit starts, you begin to drive instead of at 80, at 65... Next thing you know, you're getting 19 miles to the gallon, not because of the Vornado, but because you're driving it more sensibly.
Okay.
So you need to do that first. I think that's going to do more for you than all the things. But in the interest of science, I think you should buy one of each one of those things and let us know what works.
I mean, if you installed them all, they'd be taking gas out of your tank.
Right. Good. I'm getting a gas credit back.
Good luck, man. You're going to need it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's a sucker born every day. I mean, I've bought all these things, too.
I know. You got them all.
Well, I don't buy any of the automotive things because I know that they're bogus, but I buy everything else.
Well, you have installed the magnets on your on a car of yours.
Yes, I have.
Did it work?
Well, it's still running. Okay, Tommy, I think it's time for a little station break.
Ah, is this another one of our patented mid-show scissors, as they say?
Yes, it is.
You mean we're going to show them how it's done?
Yes, we are.
I mean we're going to show them how the big boys goof off?
That's right.
We're going to lose our jobs, aren't we?
Yeah, any day now.
We'll be back with information about how you can get your puzzle fixed this week in just a minute. And even though the NPR grounds crew cuts mosquito-sized holes in our window screens whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners know, every summer the puzzler goes where?
A vacanza,
as they say in Italia. Yes. But we know from your calls and letters that this is a very difficult time.
Withdrawal.
For both of you.
It's withdrawal.
Some folks just can't seem to go a week without a Car Talk puzzle. So for you, we have what?
Electroshock therapy? Padded room?
No. For you, we have our classic puzzler archive. Ooh. Every week that the puzzler is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work or bored with your chat group, just head to cartalk.com, and every week you'll find a new used puzzler there. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-7777-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Sarah, with an H.
Yes, how are you today?
Sarah, how did you say it? You said it differently.
I said Syrah.
Oh, Syrah.
I thought you did.
Syrah.
It has an I in it, but it also has an H.
Oh, so I was right. S-I-R-A-H?
That's correct.
Yeah. That's a very nice name, Syrah.
Thanks.
I like it.
Syrah. I would have pronounced it Syrah.
Syrah.
K-Syrah.
Syrah. Well,
I get all sorts of renditions. Sarah, Saria, all sorts of things.
Did you already tell us where you're from? I was
in Washington, D.C., and she's not a politician or an attorney. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, then what's up?
I have a question regarding my 93 Honda Civic, and the question is about the clutch master cylinder. Every time I take it into a dealership, they tell me, you've got to change the clutch master cylinder. I haven't because of the expense and things, and a friend of mine told me, just go ahead and put brake oil in it and you'll be fine, and I haven't had any problems driving it, changing gears, just braking, nothing. And so I'm wondering, do I really need to change it? Is this a dealership ploy just to make me spend more money?
Do you frequently add brake fluid to it?
No, not very frequently. Every couple of months, I would say.
Ah. So they're telling you should replace it because they see the leak.
Right.
And you say, well, so what? It's leaking. I'll fill it up again.
What are your plans for this car? I mean, let's get right to it. I mean, why fool around? I mean, is we looking at a six-month horizon, or are you looking at keeping this car for 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, I don't think that long. Maybe a couple years. Maybe like 2 years, max. A
couple of years. And how often do you drive it?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I think you're doing exactly the right thing.
Okay.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
Come on.
You've obviously chosen to ignore advice of counsel.
Well, this is the dealership, which I don't always trust.
But what are you doing?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm in the process of badgering the witness.
Wait a minute. Every time you go to Richie Brown, he says to you, you got to do something about those whatevers, gums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Richie Brown is our dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go see Richie Brown, he says, yeah, you got to do something about those gums.
Right.
Now, how many times?
He also says you should do something about your face while you're at it. But I've disregarded that advice
for 30 years. Regarding the gums, you've been going to Richie for 30 years, and he's been telling you this for 25 years. So how many times have you had it done?
Well, none. But bad gums are not going to leave me stuck someplace.
No, this is not going to leave her stuck.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is your clutch master cylinder is going to fail, and you won't be able to shift the car.
She carries a can of brake fluid on the front seat of her car.
And you know what's going to happen when it does fail? You're going to be
in Washington,
D.C.? You're going to be in East Boondocks, North Carolina, and you're going to reach for that can of brake fluid. It's going to be empty.
Oh, Lord.
And you're going to be stuck.
And well, even then she's not
stuck. And the giant cats are going to get you.
No, she's going to put it in third gear when the engine is turned off, and she's going to drive all the way back to Washington, D.C.
Well, you could, I suppose, but you're going to have to replace it eventually. It's not going to last 2 years.
Okay.
So why
take a chance?
Why replace it after a year and a half and only enjoy the freedom it gives you for 6 lousy months?
Yeah.
Well, you can replace it today. And make your mechanic happy. He'll be able to make his boat payment on time.
That's not my goal.
Well, I know, but think of the greater good. Don't be selfish.
No, this way she gets to open the hood once in a while. If the engine's missing, she'll notice.
You'll do what you think is best. I give up.
No, I agree. If it's, 2 years, if you say it's going to give me trouble, you're right. I should change it.
Yeah, it's not going to last 2 years, and you should change it, because even though you could drive the thing home without a clutch, it would be a drag. And why worry about it? It's obvious that you're concerned about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called us.
That's correct.
So why worry about it for the next 2 years? Fix this and you can worry about all the other things that are wrong with the car.
That's true. All the other things that are wrong with Washington, D.C.
Exactly. Good luck and thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Syrah.
Pay no attention to him, Syrah.
Bye. Oh, Syrah. I'm sorry.
Syrah.
I like Syrah. You planted a seed.
I planted it. Yeah, I know.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lars calling from San Francisco.
Lars. What's up, man?
I've got an 89 Volkswagen GTI. Lately, there's been this strange sound coming from the front of the car. It's this roaring sound. It's present at all speeds, but it's more noticeable after having been on the highway for a while.
Uh-huh.
And what it sounds most like is actually the kind of sound that you hear when someone's put huge tires on a pickup truck, the kind with the huge knobby treads.
Oh, that.
Yeah, when it goes down the highway and it makes that roar.
Yeah.
And it makes this noise while you're going down the highway or
other times? It's kind of subtle if I'm just tooling around town, but if I go out on the highway for about 30 minutes or so at high speed and then pull off and then I'm driving around at slow speed, then it's more noticeable.
And does it change pitch as you speed up or slow down?
Yeah, it's completely dependent on car speed, not the engine speed.
So it'll change pitch.
Not pitch, but intensity.
Pitch. Will it go from whoo to whoo?
Exactly.
Whoo. It does.
Yeah.
That was a perfect fifth. I mean, I just drank a whole fifth.
I had a perfect fifth myself.
So it does change pitch, and it does change intensity also.
Yeah, the pitch changes depending on speed, and if I've been driving for quite a while at a high speed on the highway, then the intensity goes up.
Now, I'm going to suggest...
Oh, if you have been, the intensity goes up even after you slow down?
Yeah, then it's more noticeable.
Get out.
Really?
Okay. 888-227-8255. If you'd like to call us and get rid of Lars, that's the number.
Now, here's a big question. Can you change it? For example, if you were on the highway, I won't recommend you do this, but if you were doing the slalom, you know, so you were in the middle lane and you veered over slowly to the left, or even quickly to the left, and then back to the right, and then back to the left. So you were doing, if somebody were to draw it, you would be doing a big sine wave down the highway. Does it change if you do that, or have you noticed that it changes on turns?
It doesn't change on turns.
That's not the right answer.
I know.
So if you make a right-hand turn, you don't notice it getting worse.
No. And I've really been listening for that because for a while I thought maybe it had something to do with the CV joints. But
Well, you're close.
Close, yeah.
You're close.
So if you come off an exit ramp, you don't notice any difference in the sound, except for the fact that you've slowed down a little bit.
It's actually an exit ramp, so that I start
hearing it
right. A lot, because then the wind noise is gone and having been on the highway.
Does the car still have a top? Is there still a roof?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think, in fact, your last statement says a lot. In fact, you don't hear it at very high speed because it is getting drowned out by all the other noises that the car makes.
Right.
Not the least of which is the wind noise. But I'm pretty sure you have maybe not just one, but two bad wheel bearings.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the front.
Well, I'm caught between, I'm torn, I guess, between wheel bearings and tires.
Well, it could be tires. Peculiarly worn tires can make the same kind of noise that you think big tires would make, that woo, 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 woo. So if you can run your hand over the tires and the front ones feel very different from the back ones, mm-hmm. and they feel like they're scalloped, then, in fact, it could be the tires causing the noise. But the only thing that makes me lean toward wheel bearing is we replace a lot of wheel bearings in Volkswagens. They seem to go more than they do in other cars.
Well, I'm leaning more toward wheel bearings also.
I'm leaning more toward the wall myself. That's why I fall over. But I would suggest that you take it someplace and have them look at your tires. But on the lift, they can spin the wheels, and if they're as bad as I think they are,
they'll know.
They'll be like, geez. And you should do it soon, because if a wheel bearing is making noise for a long time, it could seize up.
Oh.
So I would have someone look at it right away.
That sounds a little too exciting.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Lars.
Thanks a lot for your advice.
Thanks for your call. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie.
Hi, Julie. Where are you from?
I'm from Stamford, California.
So what's going on, Julie?
We have a 96 Ford Taurus LX, mm-hmm. and we were having a very bad car day last week. The Bava was in the shop getting its 65,000-mile, $3,000 tune-up.
And probably was $3,000.
A classic
bucks.
Volvo tune-up.
Yeah, so I had to drive my husband's beloved Ford Taurus. But I noticed something was wrong with it. Whenever I would slow down below 20 miles an hour or so, or hit a speed bump, the car would not go anymore. But it would try to go. It would go make funny noises, and like it was in neutral or something.
Oh, really?
Really.
And he's been driving this car pretty much every day and hadn't mentioned this to you, this little quirk?
No.
And when you mentioned it to him, did he say, "That's never happened to me"?
Yeah, that was the first thing he said, and then he admitted
it. He's a liar.
Then he admitted that it had happened to him.
Maybe once or twice. But he had tried to put in some transmission fluid, thinking it sounded like a transmission problem.
That's a great idea.
But that didn't make any difference.
Was it low on transmission fluid?
No, it did guzzle quite a bit.
Well, there's a dipstick in the transmission.
Oh, there is?
Uh-oh.
Well, how did he decide that it needed transmission fluid?
Because it didn't run out the top.
Oh,
did you see him actually put it in?
No, it was an unwitnessed event.
So you don't know where he actually put it in?
No, but now that the low coolant light came on.
Oh, this guy's dangerous.
This is
what does he do for a living?
He's a casualty of the .com world. He's a research scientist. He, quote, works from home, unquote.
A research scientist. You know, in my experience, scientists know the least about cars. I don't know why
that
is.
Or about practical things in general.
Yeah, practical things. I mean, they can tell you how the sun works.
But they couldn't make a pop-up toaster work.
Man.
Yeah.
This car sounds, does it have a lot of miles on it, the Taurus?
It has 107,355.
Oh, jeez, you did your homework.
Yeah. And we'd like to pass it on to our 14-year-old daughter who has her eye on it. But
14? Oh, never happened.
I'm not going to make it that long.
Unless you could move to a state where they hand out licenses at age 14 and a half.
You need a transmission.
I think so.
A transmission rebuild, at least.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the transmission is, as we say in the trade, schwavoted.
It's cooked.
Oh, did I mention that my husband's not exactly gainfully employed?
You mentioned he was self-unemployed, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you employed?
Yes, I am.
Well, given that he's a research scientist, he's probably oblivious to all of the things, all the messages that the car has been sending him for the last 6 years. And so before I went and invested several thousand dollars, which is what it might cost you to rebuild the transmission.
Oh, good gosh.
Before I did that.
Volvo guys charge you $3,000 for a tune-up.
I know. Yeah. This is California. That's a lot of
They put
lot
in
of
four spark plugs.
Yeah. Five, probably.
So before I invested a couple of $1,000 in a transmission, I'd want to know that the rest of the car was in pretty decent shape.
Okay.
So I would bring it to a mechanic. Take it to a mechanic. And have them check out everything.
Okay.
And let you know what's wrong with it. I mean, they may charge you $100 to do this.
Wow, they just charged us $1,000 to do that at the Ford dealership like a few weeks ago.
Jeez, I got to relocate.
I know.
So you had this thing at the Ford dealership, and they charged you $1,000, never said anything about the transmission.
Nope.
What did they charge you $1,000 for?
For the $100,000 tune-up? I figure it's just a percentage. I don't know.
Oh, you were in there for the 100,000-mile checkup.
Yeah. And I think they must replace a whole lot of stuff for that. I know they make more. I'm a doctor. They make more than I do. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm a suspicious guy.
Yes.
And if they did the 100,000-mile checkup, there is some possibility that what the checkup includes is changing the automatic transmission fluid.
Uh-huh.
They could have screwed it up.
Uh-huh.
It would be worth looking into.
All right.
Good luck, Dr. Julie.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly billable hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy Bourbon. I haven't said that for a few weeks, and I missed it.
Sound good?
Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tipperary, Loganberry, Horace Sherry, Stuffed Canary, Rainier Sherry, Bloody Mary, Ben and Jerry Confectionery, and low-fat dairy-free lunch ferry is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Tom's beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the double-parked deputy assistant deans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1535, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, lots of shows to download.
Yeah, remember, if you ever miss our show unintentionally,
of course,
you can always grab the podcast at cartalk.com.
Or download a previous show.
Sure, if you've got a root canal coming up and want to divert the pain to your ears, get access to our free Car Talk podcast and years of cheap downloads anytime you want over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Charles Darwin wonders, how did these guys survive, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.